Yeah, I'll stand. Well, maybe I will sit. I've never had the option of sitting. This is different, yeah. Hey, guys. Just to echo all the wonderful thank yous to Scott Silsby for inviting me here, Jimmy, Joan, Hemingways, obviously. This is a wonderful reading series. This is the very first reading series I'd found out about whenever I was an undergraduate at Pitt, and you definitely associate this with Pittsburgh poetry in general. So, I mean, it's just a real happy to be here with this might be my last Pittsburgh reading for a while, so it's just, I'm thrilled. So, thank you. All right, so some poems. As Scott mentioned, I'm really, really thrilled that this poem should be showing up on the New Yinzer pretty soon. It's called Potamia. Potamia is Greek for rivers. I have a little bit of a Greek heritage, so it wasn't just that it sounded cool. So I initially wanted my entire chapbook manuscript, whatever it is I'm working on right now, to be really focusing on the rivers in Pittsburgh. So this is one of those poems. I hope you like it. Potamia. There is a good place to drink above the Monongahela, where a girl never sat by the river, muttering Catholic hymns about yesterday when we drank atop Bates as the lights clotted below us and rush hour began. Now I am the traffic, breaking over the Allegheny, sweating songs and psalms into rivers and rivers and rivers, shifting, ebullient, slapdash over the dam. This is... Oh. Thank you. this one, I'm not sure if I'm calling it Potamia 2 yet or just Potamia again. It might recur, but this one is also set in a very similar spot. The hill breaks like a glacier above the Monongahela. I could not kneel beside the Blessed Mother's shrine hidden in the deer graze. These are not mountains. Each year the sycamores gather weight. I am not a sycamore. How many trees must I plant to be forgiven? A cool barge churns through river waste. The river made the train whistle in the hollow. Sweet and earth and water. I can't help but wonder how I found this place, or what I'll find at the headwaters of the Monongahela. Thank you. So, initially, like I said, the manuscript was going to kind of be about the rivers and kind of Pittsburgh, I guess, more generally. And then a cat sort of showed up outside of my apartment and kind of changed the trajectory. So this is going to be the now the working title is The Cat is on the Fire Escape. So this is... that poem that kind of started this, so I hope you enjoy it. It's called My Cat Problem. The cat is on the fire escape and looks very unhealthy. The cat is inside my apartment and I am screaming. The cat is asleep outside and I am feeding it bananas. The cat is in my bathroom. The cat is in my head. I am thinking this cat is blind. One eye lacks a pupil. The cat glares at me. It makes its way into my bed. It keeps me warm and I feel loved. It calls me strong and appreciates me, and so now I am fucking this cat. The cat is not unattractive, all said and done, speckled with brown and white fur, its eye a dull, piercing green. The cat no longer eats. The cat sleeps outside of my apartment, and now I'm afraid to leave. This one's called, it's a newer one, My Problem with Playing Games on My Cell Phone. I am downloading games on my cell phone. Cats versus Zombies, Angry Cats, Flappy Cat, Plants versus Cats, Candy Crush, Cats Edition. I am winning each game. I am a winner. I am advancing. I have mastered the cat problem. I will never crash my car.
Thank you.
This is another prose poem I wrote in that similar time. It's called My Problem in the Parking Lot. I am arrested by a praying mantis. I expect it to dart from the handrail, naked and ashamed for appearing blatant. It should know that I am running late to a biweekly staff meeting, that I'd hold not one but two agenda items. I would tell it this, but truth be told, I am afraid to get close. The mantis does not flinch. Its head follows me across the parking lot. I want to ask someone if it is common for a bug to turn its head, but the mantis does not take me seriously. It will not listen. I want to kill this creature. It is a bug, and I am a man. Thanks. I just quit my job, too, so that was really satisfying to not be thinking of that commute to work. That's where this poem is based, and I don't know how buried that is now. This is another poem that is going to be appearing in the new Yinzer. It's called Fossil. The sycamores are like skeletons. On a stormy day in autumn, the sky is Pittsburgh gray. Lights on the water shimmer beneath. I dreamt the wind pulled me to the bottom of the Youghiogheny, spilling into the Monongahela, then into the Ohio. I fell into the ocean. The wind was at my back. The water became clear as daylight. Sudden, I wept. I collapsed atop a mountain, 500 feet above Springdale. The mountain was a hill, but I stood as tall as I'd ever stood. The river peaked in its own shade of green. The river was not green. If I could just make out the sheet station, bright red across the river, below the smokestack, spewing white on gray, transposing life into life past the bridges. A train hauls fuel from across the valley, signaling towards Freeport, and then onto Katanning, where the tracks seem to end. That's that one. Thanks. This is an older one. It's called It Was Too Quiet. My mother once told me my father had trouble sleeping after he moved out of the city onto Donley Drive. It was too quiet, is what he said. Now I live not far from where he lived, and it is not quiet. Crickets in the grass, birds calling, ambulances passing by, the sound of planes, the harmonica notes of the moving train. I dream in half sleep. I might tell him I have trouble waking. So, job interviews are kind of the worst, and this one's called Problematic Job Interview. When I arrive, the cat is in the conference room. The cat pretends not to know me, which hurts. The cat wears a polo, and its belly sags. It lists scenarios like, if you standing in Blender and someone was about to flick switch, what is first thing you do? I tell it what I would do. I would cling on. I am lying. The cat is purring. I don't know how I'm doing on time. I'm two more. All right. Thanks. Let's go with, this is, moving on from the cats, this is my dog problem. The dog is dead. Do you understand? He is not coming back. He was loyal. He pleased his entire family, took his licks and forgave. He was a true father and a patriot. He shat in our enemy's rose bush. God watched him from the telephone pole. The neighborhood dogs respected his bark. He sang the Star Spangled Banner and wore a nice collar. He ate chocolate and lived. He cried at my door. Do you understand? The dog is dead. Two more? All right. Well, this is a fall poem. I think I'm going to skip it because I'm enjoying summer too much. But I think one more should do. This is called For a Lack of What Is Found There, kind of after the great William Carlos Williams poem. It's called Asphodels. I am sitting on my grandfather's lap, wrapped in cellophane. His glass is dark, thick-rimmed. His body is sand. A plastic ball falls, trickling like water from the gutter into the grass. We chase balls, returning always, no better nor worse. I cast largemouth bass from barbless hooks into the lilies that swallow the pond. There is resilience hardwired into every genome. I wanted to paraphrase the eulogy my father gave. Last century, there was world war. In this century, there is always war. My other brother was too young to remember, and the years have given me nothing. He taped a penny to paper planes. Planes hovered like the smell of onions frying in butter. We never knew cirrhosis, my father's father. Thank God he fought. What can a poem do? Can't we talk about it all together? But it is the closest thing I can think of to knowing I am alive. Thank you all.